I'm Anna Hotten from Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago, and I'm going to talk about follow-up screening for syphilis among MSM. Is this better? Okay, great. So I'm Anna Hotten from Howard Brown, and I'm going to talk about follow-up screening for syphilis among MSM in primary care. So just a little background about Howard Brown. We're one of the nation's largest LGBT organizations. We serve over 36,000 adults and youth every year at multiple sites in Chicago and the surrounding areas. We provide a variety of medical services, including primary medical care, behavioral health, HIV and STD testing, and community outreach. And as Daniel mentioned, we have three full-time DIS as part of the CDC Syphilis Elimination Program. So just a little bit of background. The rate of primary and secondary syphilis in the U.S. declined to an all-time low in 2000, but it's since increased. And these increases have been largely driven by increases in MSM. Outbreaks of syphilis in MSM have been reported since the late 90s and have been associated with high-risk behavior and high rates of HIV co-infection. Chicago is a high syphilis morbidity area. Cook County, Illinois reported the third highest number of primary and secondary syphilis cases in the U.S. in 2008, and in Chicago we've seen increases in syphilis among MSM since 2001. At Howard Brown, the new case positivity increased by 14% between 2007 and 2008, and in 2009, over 4,000 tests resulted in 240 new cases of syphilis in MSM, 269 cases overall. And about 50% of MSM were HIV positive at the time of syphilis diagnosis. So CDC recommends follow-up screening at a minimum of 6 and 12 months among people diagnosed with early syphilis to ensure adequate treatment response, and more frequent screening at 3-month intervals is recommended for HIV-positive patients and those for whom long-term follow-up is uncertain. So why is it important to rescreen patients regularly? Well, it's important, especially in the first year, to monitor serologic response to ensure treatment efficacy. We know that a lack of appropriate decline in titer can indicate neurological involvement, and that HIV patients may be at increased risk of treatment failure, secondary relapse, neurosyphilis, so they may have additional care needs. And rescreening also offers the opportunity for prompt detection and treatment of new infections, reducing the spread of infection and the risk of HIV transmission. So our objectives for this study were to assess the proportion of clients meeting the CDC guidelines for follow-up screening after a diagnosis of early syphilis, and to identify patient characteristics associated with timely follow-up, and to identify missed opportunities for testing and areas for improving follow-up. So cases were collected through routine STD surveillance as part of the MSM Prevalence Monitoring Project. Between 2002 and 2007, we included all primary care patients with a diagnosis of early syphilis during those years, and we followed them for at least 12 months. We used logistic regression to examine factors associated with rescreening at 6 and 12 months. So there were a total of 184 patients who were diagnosed with early syphilis on at least one occasion during the study period. Almost three quarters were HIV positive and had a history of STDs. And I just want to note that these cases weren't representative of our overall morbidity, but these were just early syphilis patients in primary care at Howard Brown. So of the 184 patients, 142 of them, or just over three quarters, had any follow-up after their diagnosis. And so the dark gray bars represent the number of patients who had returned to the clinic through the end of that time period. The percentages on top are just the proportion of the total who who returned. And then the lighter gray bars show the proportion who were screened at these time points. So among patients who returned at 1 to 3 months, just over 40% were screened, and the probability that patients were screened increased. But at 3 to 6 months, only 65% of patients were rescreened, and only 83% at 6 to 12 months. So in terms of clinical implications, it maybe is debatable whether we need to be screening in that early, the 1 to 3 month interval, but after that we definitely want to be screening all of our patients, particularly if it's unclear when they're going to return to the clinic. So erring on the side of caution is appropriate. So we did two separate but related analyses. First, we wanted to look at factors associated with follow-up. And then we also looked at characteristics among people with follow-up associated with whether or not the patient was retested. So I'll go through both of these scenarios. So first, among all patients, we looked at predictors of 6 month follow-up, and not surprisingly, HIV status was associated. HIV positive patients were much more likely to follow up in 6 months, and as I said, that's not surprising because it's recommended that they have 3 to 6 month visits. And STD history was also associated, as was stage at initial diagnosis. So these are the crude and adjusted associations, and we see that HIV status was the main predictor of 6 month follow-up. 720 or 730 at diagnosis was also associated, and similar associations were seen at 12 months. So among the 100 patients who returned within 6 months to the clinic, these were factors that we looked at to see whether they were associated with whether or not the patient was tested. And you see that none of these, there were no associations between any of these factors and 6 month testing among people with follow-up. And when we restricted to HIV positive patients, which were the majority of our population, there was a marginal association between STD history and testing at 6 months. And STD history and year of diagnosis were associated with testing at 12 months. And so, as in the bivariate analysis, the multivariable results showed the same thing, that there were no associations with any of these factors in 6 month follow-up. So our study had some limitations. The results may not be generalizable to other MSM populations. Ours is a relatively stable patient population. Clients have regularly scheduled visits, and providers are culturally competent and knowledgeable about syphilis in the MSM community. We also weren't able to determine whether patients sought testing at other venues, so we assumed that patients who were in primary care at Howard Brown would have returned to Howard Brown for follow-up testing, but we certainly don't know that was the case for everyone. So the extent to which CDC recommendations are met depends on two things: whether the patient returns to the clinic in a timely manner, and whether they're tested at the follow-up visit. Just over half of patients returned to the clinic within 6 months, and HIV status was the most important factor associated with timely follow-up. But a third of those who returned within 6 months were not retested, and we didn't find any specific patient factors associated with provider testing behavior. So these results highlight a need for patient and provider education. We need to encourage providers to screen at shorter intervals and to motivate patients to take an active role in their follow-up. We also have more and more opportunity to utilize existing resources for improving follow-up. During most of the study period, we actually did not have an electronic medical record, but the EMR now gives us the ability to alert providers, generate reminders for follow-up visits. so that we make sure the providers are testing people when they do come back. And our DIS develop a rapport with patients, and so they can certainly emphasize and have been emphasizing the importance of follow-up testing for their clients. And also, these results just point to the need for further research into the individual or structural barriers to follow-up. So we don't really know why people who didn't return to the clinic didn't come back. And also the need for improving continuity of care. So I just want to thank my collaborators, Bo Gratzer and Daniel Pohl from Howard Brown and Supriya Mehta from the UIC School of Public Health, and all of our Howard Brown DIS and medical providers. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions. Were reinfected.
Yes.
There were 23 people who were reinfected during the study period, so 12.5% actually were reinfected. So that was, reinfections were common. Yes.
Did you talk to any of the providers to determine why they might not have been testing these people that did return to the clinic?
I don't know the answer to that.
You couldn't speak with them, or?
I didn't speak with them, so I don't know. But we have, since we've talked about this and are working on integrating it into, certainly since we looked at the study, we have talked about it a lot and are working on integrating the more frequent testing. But I don't know if they were assuming that the patients would return more regularly and so they didn't see a need to test, or if it was they were just not aware of the guidelines, or why that was.
I'd like to get your thoughts on how you would motivate or encourage patients to come in and take that acid promoter follow-up to come in for that screening.
I think it's hard, but I think just emphasizing the importance of screening, I think making sure that patients know that it's really important for them to come back in, and I think we can tell them why. We need to make sure that you were treated adequately, and there could be important consequences. So, talking with the patients and.
Have you thought about using some sort of electronic system? You use the EMRs from the physicians.
Yeah.
In some way to either use that or some sort of very anonymous generic mailing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that would be really good, and I think our DIS are doing that. If people request reminders, they will do that, and I think it's that's a great idea, and we need to be doing that as much as possible, and we have started to implement some of those since.
Well, thank you, Anna.
Thank you.